Good morning. I'm so blessed to be with all of you guys today. If we have not met before, my name is Sterling, and I have the privilege of being on staff here with the senior high team. And I am just always so blessed to be with all of you guys. And if you weren't here last week, or you just haven't been here in a while, or if you're new, whatever, we kicked off a three-part series last year to start off the school year, which we really are meaning to focus on the five core values of our youth ministry. Those things being fellowship, discipleship, worship, service, and evangelism. Now, Todd hit on the first few last week, so this week what we're going to do is talk about service and evangelism. And what I'm going to do is focus most of our time talking about service, because I believe that evangelism is part of our service as believers. But before we do that, we're just going to stop and take a moment to meditate on Scripture. This is something that we as a team decided we want to start doing, as we believe that it is critical for the believer to memorize and meditate on God's Word. It changes us, it grows us, it allows us to prosper. But most importantly, as we memorize Scripture and learn to guard it in our hearts, we become more and more like God, like the God who created us. Because as we sit on His Word and take time to just dwell in it and dwell with Him, we can't help but grow closer to Him. So what we're going to do is take a couple of minutes to just sit and meditate. But before we do that, I'd like to ask you guys all to stand, because we're going to read the Scripture together. So everybody stand, and we're going to read together Matthew 22, verses 30. You don't need to talk to stand. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. So let's read. And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You guys can have a seat, and we're going to take a few minutes to just silently meditate on this verse. So you can pray about it. Ask yourself a couple of questions. What does it say about God and His character? How does this relate to the rest of Scripture? And how do I apply this to my life? So let's take a couple of minutes and silently meditate on these verses. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Holy Scripture, how it is a blessing from You, God. And I pray that You would teach us to look at it with proper awe and reverence for who You are and the words that You have given us, Lord. In Your mighty name we pray. Amen. I truly believe that the Scripture that we have here on screen is perfect for what we're going to talk about today, which is service and evangelism. We're going to talk about service to and in the body of Christ, but also service outside of the body, and how when we ultimately serve, we are doing so out of a love for the Lord. So before we even begin, let's take a couple of minutes at our table, and we're going to discuss this question, which is, what would it look like if we served the Lord as though we loved Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul? Take a few minutes to discuss that question, and then we'll come. I think it would look like an obsession with serving the Lord. I think it would look like us sacrificing things and giving things up in order to serve the Lord. It would look like us being on the corners and the street corners and in the malls and wherever we could to share the gospel. I think it would be the vast majority of everything that we do. But because we are imperfect, we often forget who God is and how He has plans to use us to serve Him and serve His kingdom. We forget that all of the giftings and all of the abilities that we have are meant to serve God. But He has plans for us, and He's given us giftings in order to serve Him. And what we're going to look at today is a scripture that shows us God's plan for the gifts that He has given us. So let's grab our Bibles and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14 reads, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many." So just a bit of context for you guys. What Paul is addressing here is the church of Corinth in this letter regarding several issues that they had that he wrote to him about, or that he wrote to them about.
Now, a big issue that was in the church of Corinth was that there were people who were elevating other gifts over certain gifts. For example, let's say Lowell had the gift of teaching. People would have maybe thought of him more highly than Jay, who had the gift of wisdom and discernment. Basically, the more upfront gifts, the gifts that people could see more, were praised, while the other gifts that may be a little bit more quiet were being forgotten about. But what Paul here is telling the church in Corinth is that all gifts are necessary in order to serve the body of Christ well. I'll let you guys know that what Corinne, Todd and I do is only a small part of the youth ministry. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that our wonderful admins, Donna Pedroni and Aaron Seaton, do. And I want you guys to know, I don't have the mind to do the kind of work that they do. It's different. It's not upfront. Many of you have never heard their names, or you only see emails from them around summer camp or winter retreat, but their work is essential. If the team were comprised of people who could only teach, or was only comprised of people who could make relationships with people, nothing would ever get done. What Paul is teaching is that the body needs a variety of gifts in order to function, and that no gift is more important than another. And I know that some of you probably don't know what your gifting is yet. You don't know where you fit into the body of Christ, but we're actually going to talk about that a little bit later for today, or a little bit later today. But for now, what I want you guys to understand is that no matter your gifting, we all have a part to play within the body of Christ. Paul says that it doesn't matter what your background is. You could be Jew or Gentile, slave or free, young or old, student or parent. But once we accept Christ, we are all baptized by the same Spirit. This is the initial experience that happens to all believers when they accept Jesus into their heart. And the significance of Paul saying it here, it means that it isn't something that happens after you've become a Christian. But at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And so what he's saying is basically nobody has an excuse to not be serving within the body of Christ. Because God has blessed all of us who have accepted him. He's blessed all of us with a gift for service to his kingdom. He's saying that from the moment that you become a believer, you become a part of a body of believers, and we should be unified as one body. Each of us should use the gifts that God has given us to support the entire body of Christ. And I think that Romans chapter 12 gives us such a beautiful idea of what that looks like. Romans 12, 4 through 8 says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function." Verse 4. Guys, we have, in our own human body, we have so many different body parts. I don't know how many, but we have a bunch of different body parts, organs, the blood that flows, the skin, all that stuff, right? And there was a time a little bit longer ago that scientists believed that many of the body parts that we had, or organs that they didn't know what they did, were just completely useless. In fact, if you remember one of my sermons a couple years ago, we talked about the appendix. And we talked about how Darwin said that the appendix was a vestigial structure. Basically, it was something that had no use or purpose. It was just there. In fact, many scientists and doctors thought that it could be hazardous to your health, because if your appendix appeared to be inflamed or something, it could cause dangerous health issues. And so if it looked to be inflamed, what they would do is just remove the whole appendix. they thought that you didn't actually need your appendix, one part of your body. Well, recent studies have actually proved otherwise. The presence of our appendix within us is actually correlated with an increase of maximum lifespan observed for specific species. Basically, for mammals of the same type, the same build and weight, if they had an appendix, they were more likely to live longer than the mammals that did not have an appendix. So even though the appendix seemed useless at first, it is now seen as a member of the body with an extremely important function. And so just like that, your body has many different parts with many different functions, but they are all essential in some way, one or another. And it's the same with the body of Christ. Because verse 5 tells us that just like the human body, the body of Christ has many members with many different functions. But here's what stands out to me the most. It says that each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. Paul is saying here that we are not given our giftings and our abilities to use in soul service for ourselves. In fact, we're not given our giftings and our abilities to use for ourselves at all. But you guys remember what Todd talked about last week about being a living sacrifice? Right? We looked at Romans 12:1, and Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Paul is saying that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices to the Lord our God. This means that I don't live just for myself. This means that I don't put myself first. This means that I don't selfishly use my abilities and my giftings for my own personal gain. But what I do is I serve the body of Christ. I serve the church because we belong to each other. We belong to the church and the church belongs to us. And it doesn't mean that you just serve and get nothing in return. But think about it. When we come to church, we come to get fed spiritually, right? When we come to church, the church helps to provide for us. The church teaches us and it picks us up when we're down and it rejoices with us when we are up. The church is just as much as part of us as we are part of the church. And that's one of the reasons why we serve. We serve because we are part of the church and the church a part of us. But the most important reason why we serve is that this is our true and proper form of worship from the Lord or to the Lord. And I hope you guys know and understand that worship isn't just when the band gets up here with a guitar and they sing. But your worship is your proper response to God's goodness. It is a lifestyle in response to the goodness of God and who he is. The most common word for worship in the Bible literally translates to bend over or to bow down. It describes a gesture of respect, a gesture of submission to human beings, to God, or to idols. That's what it means to worship. But bowing down isn't just a one-time thing that we do to God. Submission isn't just a one-time thing, but it is a continuous lifestyle. We don't just bow down in posture or stature, but we bow down to the Lord with our lives by giving it over to him. Earlier, we discussed at our tables what it would look like to serve the Lord as though we loved him with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our soul. And I think that Romans 12:1 answers that perfectly. Because if we truly loved God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, we would live as a sacrifice for him. We would sacrifice the rest of the things in this world. All of the distractions, all of the things that are non-essential, we would give those things up. And that also means submitting to his will and serving his kingdom. And that is why we serve, not because we have to, but we should serve out of gratitude for the God and the King of the universe, because this is our true and proper form of worship. Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Guys, this is critical to service. You know, as much as I truly love you guys, which I do, I'm not doing it just to serve or to please you. There are days where I don't feel like coming into work. There are days when I don't feel like writing a sermon. But I'm doing it to serve the God of the universe. I have to constantly remind myself that as a Christian, God is my first and my only master. As a Christian, God is our first and our only master. Todd, Corinne, and I, we serve you guys. We serve your parents. We serve the church. But ultimately, God comes first, always. God comes first. And when we work and we serve, we are to do it directly as unto the Lord. We all have a role to play within the church. And we as a staff, Todd, Corinne, and I, we want to help you guys find that role and serve in whatever capacity that you. But before we move on, let's go ahead and discuss this question at our table. The question being, do you feel like you have an important role to play within the body of Christ? Why or why not?
All right, guys, let's bring it back.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I gotta continue.
All right, guys. Now, so far, we've talked about service inside of the body of Christ and why it is that we serve. But there's also service that is to be done outside of the body of Christ, right? We've talked about our gifts that support the church and supports us within the church. And we've talked about how no matter how seemingly small our role is, that we all have an important role to play within the body. But we also have that role outside, right? As the church, what are we collectively called to do? Well, one of those things that we're collectively called to do is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to evangelize. Now, the English word for evangelism comes from the Greek verb, I spelled it phonetically, and then it just still isn't coming to me. But the literal Greek word means to proclaim the good news. To proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God has come near in the person and work of Jesus. The response of which is repentance and faith. So we are called to share the gospel. We are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So this passage of scripture is known as the Great Commission. It was Jesus' last command to the apostles after his resurrection and shortly before his ascension. Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, a disciple is somebody who receives instruction from another person. A Christian disciple is a baptized follower of Christ who believes in the teachings of Christ. So if we are to make disciples of Christ, then we are to go out and to teach people what Christ has done, who he is, and why he is to be followed. But notice what it says. Go and make disciples. We're not just called to make converts. We're not just called to explain the gospel to somebody, hand them a Bible, and say, "All right, good luck." No, we are called to bring them and invite them into our lives, to show them what it means to walk with Christ, to correct them in love, to build them up with encouragement.
to show them the love that only someone who has experienced the true love of Christ can show. God uses the church, he uses us to serve the world in this way. Because it is his desire that the whole world would come to know him and spend eternity with him. But in our human nature, we rebel against him. You guys know that we were all once enemies of God. But if you're a believer with us today, then somebody has had to have shared the gospel with you. Somebody had to have evangelized to you. It may have been your friend, a parent, a pastor, whomever it was. What they did was they stepped out in faith and they shared their faith and their knowledge of the gospel with you. And if they had it, you wouldn't be walking with the Lord today. Romans 10:14 says, "How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they will have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" Right here, the Apostle Paul makes this point so very clear. Right? How can they believe in God call on God if they don't believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they haven't heard of him? And how can they hear of him if nobody is sharing his word? We as a church are meant to serve the unbelievers in this way, by sharing the good news with them. This is our duty as Christians. This is our responsibility. Because if we don't, then who will? And I know we've talked about spiritual gifts and how everyone has a different role to play, but the Great Commission is a command to all believers. So when we take a spiritual gifts test and we find out that our gifting doesn't lie in evangelism or missions, that doesn't mean that we don't do it. Because believe it or not, evangelism isn't about your gifting. It isn't about your natural inclination of being an introvert or an extrovert. But it's something that we are all called to do. One of the biggest obstacles of evangelism is probably fear. You know, I know that for a long time, I had fear just that I didn't know enough. I had fear that I was going to embarrass myself, or fear that I would mess up when evangelizing and just end up pushing them further away from God instead of drawing them closer. But what we often forget is that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. And it's the Spirit of God himself that empowers us to go out and to share his word. Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and all the end of the earth." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, but this is something that's promised to all believers, that we will receive the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will empower us. So that when God tells us to share his word, he isn't just saying, "Here's a Bible, good luck." But it is his Spirit that empowers us to share his. Guys, service and evangelism aren't just the foundations of our student ministry, but what they are is the foundation of being a follower of Christ. And for that reason, we want to help you guys get an understanding of what your spiritual giftings are. So what we're going to do is, I have a bunch of sheets and I have a bunch of pens in the back, and Corinne's going to go stand back there and help you guys grab some so we can learn what our giftings are and how we can best use them in the body of Christ. But before we do that, I'm just going to say a quick word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the giftings that you've given us, Lord. Father, thank you for the abilities that you have given us to serve you and to serve your body. I pray that as we take these tests, Lord, that it would just help us to realize the abilities and the giftings that you've given us and how we are to use them in your body. In your mighty name we pray, Lord. Amen.